Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. On today's episode, I'm going to be telling you about what it was like giving up my daughter for adoption and, you know, my feelings around that time and also what I learned from the experience. In the past two episodes, I talked to you about my parents' divorce and also my first experience of being homeless and failing out of college. So to start things off, I'm just going to rewind a little bit just to get everyone on the same page together as I tell the story. So if you listened to last week's installment of my story, this might be me repeating myself, but for those who haven't, I just want to catch you up. In last week's episode, I briefly talked about this guy whom I had a relationship with who was about 10 years older than me at the time, and that I found myself pregnant and that I gave up our baby for adoption. So I wanted to start off with what it felt like to make that decision. And even though it was quite some time ago now, I can still remember the fear that I had being so young and having this being that I was responsible for, you know, instantly, you know, when I found out I was pregnant, I was therefore responsible for this life. And I can remember, you know, friends and people telling me to end the pregnancy and that I, you know, there was no way that I could raise the baby. And what if things don't work out between me and this person? And I can remember the feeling of pure confusion and fear. And I remember thinking to myself that, you know, when women get pregnant, it's supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be a good thing. And I felt so guilty for feeling like it was a bad thing. And I ultimately, you know, thought about it in that regard. And knowing that even though I knew in that moment that I wasn't in the right frame of mind and I wasn't responsible enough, I didn't have the means to raise this child, but I still knew that this child deserved life. And I remember making the decision and my mom taking me to the adoption agency that I chose to work with. And I remember being so afraid of showing up there because I felt like I was doing something wrong. I felt like I was the only woman on the planet that was going through this, and that my decision to place my baby for adoption was wrong in some way. So I was judging myself, even though in my gut I knew this is what I had to do. I still had resistance around it because, you know, some people around me didn't agree with it. It's not like everyone, you know, in my life at the time embraced my choice. But at this point in my life, I was still so heavily influenced by those around me rather than myself that I allowed that to almost, you know, make me not want to go through with it. And so my mom takes me to the adoption agency, like I said, and I remember everything. I remember sitting there and meeting this woman who ran the adoption agency I went through. And she was the most warm, welcoming person. She made me feel so much better about my choice. And, you know, ultimately told me that my child was going to be in a safe place and that I got to pick the family that, you know, my baby would go with. And I would get to have pictures of my child as she Oh, I didn't. It was a girl, but no one knew that yet. But that she, growing up, I would get to see her in pictures. And so my fear of it and the feeling of it being the wrong choice started to calm down a little bit, but I still had the anxiety. I still felt conflicted in my decision. And at this point in time, I believe I was still with the father of the child, but of my baby, but I can't exactly remember, but I don't think that matters to the point I'm going to make. I remember he was not fully on board with it. He thought maybe, you know, we should try and like get married and move into, you know, and have like your typical family setting, which in theory sounded great, but I started to feel like I couldn't trust him. There was something going on. I remember, you know, he would be gone for longer periods of time, and I didn't know if I could even believe anything he was telling me that he wanted to do. So that's when the mercury poisoning happened. I remember we went out to dinner and I was so excited, you know, and we go to this restaurant and I got seafood and it made me extremely sick. And I will spare you those details, to the point where I should have went to the hospital. But I was never taken to the hospital. All I remember is being pushed around and being told that I needed to sit a certain way and I would find comfort and then I'd be pushed and the comfort was gone. And I remember the fear that developed from that incident because I knew that that wasn't right. And I knew that I needed to get away and I knew that my choice that I had 80% made about my baby was the right choice for her. So I ended up one day he wasn't home and I remember just grabbing anything I could, you know, and I, you know, looking back, there was things that I left behind that I probably shouldn't have, but I just remember I needed to get away. I couldn't stay there any longer. And so my mother was living close by at the time, so I went to her, but I couldn't stay there. So, and I believe I mentioned this part in last week's episode as well, but I couldn't stay there. So I ended up staying, with the adoption agency that I used. They had a shelter for young pregnant moms. And so it was a welcoming environment, but I was very shy and I felt very uncomfortable. And I remember my friend at the time, she was still partying and, you know, doing the things that I wasn't able to do anymore because I was carrying my child. And I felt very alone and just a lot of experiences in that. Like I learned how to not be so fearful of people and to kind of come out of my shell because I really didn't have a choice. If I didn't come out of my shell, I wouldn't have been able to survive because I would never have been brave enough to ask questions. So I really started to ask for help and lean on other people for support like I hadn't been able to in the past. And I'm so grateful for that experience. But I didn't stay there. I ended up, before my daughter was born, my sister at the time was staying in Georgia. And I decided before I had the baby that I was going to go down to Georgia and have a vacation with her just to see her. I hadn't seen her in a long time. But while I was down there, I thought maybe I should keep my daughter and I was going to move to Georgia. Like, obviously, that was not a good choice and it didn't happen. But you see, I was still conflicted even after, you know, leaving and staying at the shelter and all those things. And my boyfriend at the time had gotten us an apartment too through all of this. So I remember, you know, my experience down at my sister's wasn't the greatest. And I won't go into the full details of that to protect my sister's privacy, but it just was not a good experience. And I needed to get back home. So my boyfriend, at the time, his mom and him came together and got me a plane ticket to come back home. So I come home and I, you know, told everyone that I was still giving her up for adoption. And I chose this family, and they were wonderful people. And making the choice of who your child is going to be raised by is not something that I could say that I was necessarily prepared to do, because how could you ever be prepared to make such a choice? I remember being given the binder of couples, you know, husband and wives looking for, that couldn't have children of their own, that were looking to adopt a baby. And I remember like reading their profiles, and it was really strange. It wasn't like, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but it was like, imagine if someone said to you, here's a binder full of strangers that you have to decide which one of these strangers are going to be in charge of whether you're going to get resuscitated or not in the hospital. So you're trusting someone else with your own life, and I was trusting somebody else that I never met with my child's life. I remember I got to narrow it down to, I think it was 2 or 3 couples. And then I don't remember if it was a phone call or in person. Some of this is hazy, but I remember meeting them very clearly. I remember her face and his face and the instant calm that washed over me when I was in their presence. And I knew in that moment that these were the people who my daughter was meant to be raised by. It was the strongest gut feeling I've had in my life at that point. It was like we were pulled together by some outside force. And if you believe in the universe, it was like the angels had come down to earth and answered my calls for help. And then it came time for me to give birth to my daughter. I don't remember many details of the actual birth of her, but I do remember what it felt like to hold her. I remember telling her. I remember telling her that I was sorry that I couldn't raise her, but that I promised that I knew she'd be with good people, and that I told her that whenever she was ready, I'd be here waiting for her with open arms. And then I don't remember who was with me or anything else but the nurse coming in and telling me that I could come say goodbye. I chose not to hand my daughter to them because I didn't think I could handle it, and I didn't want to scare my daughter. And they took her away, and she was now with her family, her parents, who were therefore going to raise her. After that moment of giving her up, first, I tried to, you know, play it off like, oh, I'm not pregnant anymore. Back to the partying scene. Give me a cigarette. That's what I wanted everyone to think, that I was okay. I didn't want anyone's pity. I didn't want to talk about it. Just wanted to leave and pretend like it didn't happen. But underneath of that, I was heartbroken, and I felt embarrassed, and I felt like I wasn't good enough, and that I was a bad mom. So I went against my best judgment yet again, if you're seeing the trend here, and I started seeking out things to numb my pain instead of going to therapy and making healthy choices to realize that how strong I was in that moment and how much that I was a good mother because I did what was right for her and not me. Because selfishly, oh my gosh, I wanted to keep her. I wanted her back. I wanted to figure out how I could get her back. So through the adoption, I learned that I'm stronger than I think I am and that I can make good choices if I just listen to myself more. In next week's episode, I'm going to talk to you about toxic relationships that I've been through and what I learned through that experience. My affirmations for you today from this story are, I make the right choices for myself. I can trust myself. I am strong, both mentally and physically. This was a very hard story for me to tell. I've never told this story publicly or to many, even on a private personal level. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for all of your support out there listening to this today. And I want to remind you that you are stronger than you think, and you can have the life you imagine regardless of your past. Make sure to hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't miss an episode of the show, and I will talk to you all soon.